We all here? Okay. So let's do the Nekudas Sikum Daf Ein Hay. The Derech Nekudas Sikum, the Derech Haravir Binat Halev, understanding yourself. So we've got 10 exercises here. Ata yechol lazahut et ha'emes, a person can identify the truth, intechapes ota b'toicho. If you look for it inside, you can find the truth within yourself. Number two, rikshus haim koyach adir b'derech lamatara. Emotions are a very powerful tool on the way to achieving your goals. Hekerotam, get to know them. Ratumotam lemishma, and utilize them and bring them to fruition. That needs a whole understanding on its own, by the way. If somebody just thinks you've got to let rain of your emotions, okay, that's not what we're talking about. We saw what we're talking about. We're talking about getting the emotions to come to work for the seichel. Not about unbridled emotions. We're talking about emotions where you're using the koyach of the emotions, but it's the seichel that's directing them. It's a bit like a horse and a jockey. The jockey's a little tiny guy and he sits on top of the horse. The jockey on his own, he's deciding everything. He's the boss. But on his own, he's not going to go very far. The horse is an enormous koyach. I mean, the horse, you're going to go very, very far, right? Problem is, if there's no jockey, you don't know where the horse can go. It can run off the edge of a cliff. So you have to have the jockey telling the horse where to go. But you don't want to stifle the horse. You want the horse to run with all his koyach. So that's the seichel and the emotions. You want the seichel driving where the emotions go. That's the husband-wife relationship as well. He's seichel, she's regesh. Obviously not 100%, 100%. There's a mixture, whatever. We're talking in shiroshim, in the ideal world, where male is seichel and female is emotion. So you want to use all her koichas and all her energy and whatever to multitask and get a million things done or whatever. But he's the one that's got to be directing it. It's the same as seichel and dimyon. Your imagination is a very powerful tool if used correctly. So Dexter discusses it, the Bali Musa speak about it. I mean, you have to harness the koyach of dimyon in order to work on yourself. But uncontrolled imagination, we know where that leads to, right? The grass always been green on the other side, right? That's the best using of dimyon. But correct usage of dimyon, when the seichel takes the dimyon, that big animal that is so energetic, use it properly, whoa, that's a powerful combination. That's what he's talking about here. Riches have koyach adir b'delech lamatarach. Get to know them and utilize them correctly. Number three, zaheh et habayot shelcha. Identify your problems. Identify your problems. Have the courage. You know, yaitzahari yamin makarev. You know, get to know your problems. Zu tchilas haderech lepitaron. That's the beginning of finding a solution to your problem. If you know what the problem is. That requires a healthy adult dose of acceptance. We don't recognize our problems because we don't allow them to live long enough to recognize them. The minute I start recognizing a problem, I change the subject, or I suppress it, or repress it, or get rid of it, because it's horrible looking at your negative side. It's not so posh to look at your negative side. You have to be able to look at it, you have to be able to accept it, you have to decide not to change it for a while, just until I get to know it and recognize it. You want to talk something?
But isn't there an aspect where we're not supposed to focus on the problem?
Where do
you
put the
limit?
If
person's
going to
be trying to work on all his problems,
he's
going to be focused on him, and then he's
going to,
it's just, like, as a result, he's just
going to
not, he's not
going to
be happy.
No? What's your source that if a person focuses on his problems and he gets to recognize what his problems are, so he can bring a process of solving them, that he's not going to be happy? What's your right for that?
Well, for that he might be happy if he's going
to
work on
problems. Because then he has to be happy. First of all, one second. There's a premise in your question that there's some sort of goal that you have to be happy, and if you focus on your negative issues, you're not going to be happy. We've said many times in this class, happiness is a bechira. You choose to be happy or not. So be happy, fine. Now you're happy, good. Now, so You've decided you're going to be happy. You've made a bechira decision. You're playing the happiness game. You're focusing on your pleasures. You're taking pleasure from the pleasures you've got. You recognize your strengths. You understand who you are. And now you're spending half an hour a day to analyze and do his baininess, whatever you want to call it, introspection, musa, meditation, to check out and do a deep analysis of what your weaknesses and what your problems are. What's wrong with that? If a guy's got a disease, he's got a physical disease, and he focuses on his physical disease, right? So he's going to get depressed. So don't focus on your physical disease and die from it. What do you mean? You've got to stop and say, hold on a second, I've got a blood disorder, and I better go to the doctor and take some medication, no? Oh, well, you should pretend that he doesn't have a problem? Is that what you're suggesting? Truth of the matter is, when you start learning Musa, it does make you sad a little bit in the beginning. And then afterwards it picks you up. That's why in Kelm they never learned Musa on Shabbos. In Kelm, which was the, I have a friend, he told me his grandmother lived in Kelm. She said, in Kelm you didn't learn Musa, you breathed it. Kelm Musa was in the air. On Shabbos they never learned, Musa. Because the beginning of a Musa process does shake you down a little bit. It does, it makes you go, hey, that's really me? Oh, you mean I do have a propensity to anger or to gava or to any of the other terrible bidders? Yeah, it's not so pleasant when you have a look at yourself and you realize, I'm not the most reliable guy in town, I'm a bit of a, okay. But you got to, at some point, you got to look at those things and accept them and recognize that those are also gifts from Hashem. Those negative midas we've got are gifts from Hashem just as much as the good midas are gifts from Hashem. Who gave you a good midah? Hashem. Who gave you the bad midah? No, that's because I'm a bad guy. No, it's also from Hashem. You're right. If you're going to focus and spend all your day just focusing on, what a lowly creature you are, then obviously, that's what we're talking about here. But do a serious stock take. A businessman, whichever marshalim you want to use, the goof marshal, the business marshal. If a businessman is not going to take stock and have a look and see, which products are not selling well, and what his problems are, and where the theft's happening, etc., he's going to go bankrupt. So it's not so pleasant sometimes to have a look at the weaknesses in your organization, in your business, but that's what you have to do, so you can know how to correct them. If you recognize that you have a problem that you can't solve, by the way, then you can't keep focusing on it. Nachinami. But you focus enough on the problem in order to kickstart a solution. Yeah. I mean, your question is, where do you draw the line between bumming out because you're such a misery and you're so bad, and actually using your problem as stepping stones to improve it? Yeah. So that you have to know for yourself. Check out your simcha levels. As you said, have the simcha on you while you're doing this. Although in Kelm, don't think they didn't do anything on Shabbos. They learned Torah Devorah. Instead of learning the classic Musa Soim, they learn Sefer Torah Devorah. Because that shows you gutless Adam. It shows you how great you are. So it lifts you up. Musa, at a certain step, makes you focus on your weaknesses and where you're not being so great. Because you know what to rectify. Go back to simple basics. If you want to know how to get somewhere, if you have a goal, you want to get somewhere, right? Then you have to know where you are. And where we are is in a place that has problems. Where I am now, my real full of problems, riddled with problems. So if I don't take time out to accept and recognize what my problems are, I'm never going to be able to get to where I want to go. Correct? Real, ideal process. Real means, real, in the real world there's problems. So you're going to deny those, not look at them, not focus on them. You have to take time out to look at them. But I agree, obviously not to the point where it starts becoming obsessive and you start becoming one of these can't see the light of day because you're so immersed in what a bad guy you are. That's obviously the gates of hope. Number four. Im ata lo matchil b'zeh miyad v'achshav ein sofek shetaseh tayut. You have to be working on this now, not after mincha. Now, there's no doubt that you're going to make a lot of mistakes in your life. And that's number four. You better start now. Number five, that only means al tachsois legalut mi ata be'emes. Don't hold back, I think. Don't withhold from revealing who you really are. Get in touch with who you really are. Number six, hishtamesh bebechir chovshit shalcha ba'ifin maida. Use your bechira in a conscious way. Don't leave it to chance. Know when you're making a bechira decision and make it. In order to upgrade your life, start getting in touch with your bechira. Number seven, imata kois or mutrad bara lama. If you're having a negative emotional experience, you're angry or you're miserable or whatever, find out why. What's the root? What is this? What is going on here? What's this about? Useful tool is to ask yourself, what am I gaining from this? What's the benefit? What's the benefit? Whenever you see the Yetzirah trying to get you to do something, ask yourself, what am I gaining from this? Because the person doesn't do anything unless there's a gain. Or a perceived gain, anyway. But if a person gets angry, if you could freeze that moment of anger while he's being irrational by asking why he's doing it, he's got valid reasons for doing it. Later on, he realizes he's an idiot and he feels bad. Yeah, some people can train themselves to, even while they're getting angry, they can sense that this is ridiculous. But at the moment of negativity, people, even when you're miserable, you catch a guy who's really miserable, he'll tell you that there's valid reasons right now why I need to be miserable. So what's the benefit? What are you getting here? What are you gaining from this bad meter? What are you gaining from being miserable, from being angry, from being whatever it is, that this negative meter, this, you're in a negative medical emotional state? Ask yourself why. Well, because he spoke to me horribly. That's why I'm responsible. It's his fault. So you blame somebody else, and then you go vital. No, find out what you're gaining from this. What's the secondary benefits? What are you gaining? I've asked a lot of people that are miserable. You ask them, why are you miserable? What are you getting from being miserable? Yeah? They always tell you, I'm potter from responsibility. It's an amazing insight that is. I keep sitting here, pointing it out to me once. It was like, phew, like someone switched on the lights for me. Yeah? When you're miserable and sad and whatever, and no one loves you, no one cares about you, and you're in like 6-year-old tantrum mode, what are you gaining? It's not a nice feeling, so why are you doing that? You don't expect me to take responsibility for anything, do you? I'm such a no goodness, I can't be responsible. So it's just a release from responsibility. If I give a simcha and I have to start using my bechira, I have to start taking a chayat. That's kind of scary. I couldn't sleep 19 hours a day if I had to be responsible. So it's much easier to be miserable and go back to bed. Number eight, imata mitnaheg b'tzura lo hegyonit. If you're behaving in a not nice way, at least minimal requirement is at least admit it. Just admit to yourself that the Lord says it. Yeah? Don't deny it, don't blame somebody else, whatever. Don't just accept the fact that I didn't behave so nicely, you know. Yeah, okay. I didn't behave so nicely. Without the, you know, the need to justify it or do something about it or get rid of it or whatever, just acknowledge the reality. Hey, I stole. Just at least that. Number nine. Hamafteich lebriyut hanefesh hu hachdarat haemes al toich aguf hagashmi. The key to a healthy, successful life is the I'm going to use my own word here, the jackhammering, yeah, the truth into the physical body. And taking what you know intellectually and driving it into your essence, which is what Musa is about. And finally, number 10 of the summaries of the fourth way. Ata lo yochol lehavshot la'atzmacha lechakot yoteh midai zman asher takir la'atzmacha. So get this clear. You can't allow yourself much more time before you take time out to start to recognize yourself. You can't wait much longer. When are you going to start? Next month? Next year? Time's running out. Too late. Mishum shata hu ha'adam ha'mertak b'yoseh shitzitzke lakir ipa. Because you're the most fascinating, wonderful person that you're ever going to have the schus to meet. And therefore you cannot delay that process. start now. So what are you going to do about it? Excellent. Brilliant. The fifth of the 48 ways, right? We've now done four and we've got our vaccinations and immunization against the first four of the 48 ways of the way. Take out a piece of paper and write down three positive qualities you've got, write down three negative qualities you've got. Quarter to one. Now. Do it. No.
No, maybe that's not my wife.
I met a girl. Yeah. We do that all the time. Write down three things you like about her, three things you don't, three good qualities, three negative qualities.
I didn't do it.
Yeah, don't have to write it out if you don't want to. But you know what happens when you don't write it out? You need a pen, paper. Just find out three things good about yourself and three things that ain't good about yourself. Not so hard. Which looks easier?
The one I'm doing first.
Which is that one?
Not good.
Wait, I need to do this quickly. Got it? Okay.
It's not so hard. That's what you heard.
Now do 10.
There you go. I can do 10.
You could do 10. 10's hard. 10 good qualities about yourself? That's very hard, man.
I got
one. One good thing?
I'm good. I'm right there. That's not a problem. I know that I shouldn't give me credit. I know that I have...
No. What are they? Write them down. I'm a fire thing.
But the problem is that we focus more on the negative ones and not just
No. We're not just. We're not having a philosophical discussion. Now write down 10. Don't ask why you don't and why you do and just write them down.
Of course,
I'll
maybe do it. Of course, we'll be back on 2020. A few months ago.
That's the file. Guy's quite heavy, eh? How many good things you got about yourself? One. Come on, for goodness sake. You might not know how to be mugged at them, but you can. I can think of 10 already for you.
I gotta get 10 also.
For him?
Sure.
Posh.
I got one.
Generous, loyal.
Indifferent.
Responsible, consistent.
Okay.
Generous.
Definitely not
focused. Fine, right there on the negative side, not focused. Got it, you got it, brilliant. Every defense you have against your Achmel and me now, the negative ones.
The bad keeps becoming from one thing to another.
Yeah.
That's true. If you take Kim, Tav, and Kovod, those are the three branches that can go down everything.
Good, that's where you're getting lomdish. But how does that help you?
The problem is there's a lot of branches of one.
It's all laziness.
Yeah, because
so you've just discovered. I hate a contradiction. I wrote down on the one on the good side that I'm generous, and on the bad side that I'm selfish, and that kind of like that's a bit of a steerer, right? But it's kind of my life. There are times where I'm extremely generous and completely non-existent for myself, and times where I'm ridiculously selfish. Like I'm it's cool for me. So how can that be? It's a steerer, right? Yeah, it's like all these things, okay? Like you say, it's laziness. So why are we lazy? Who's lazy? The neshama or the goof?
The goof.
The goof. Not I'm lazy. I'm not lazy. But sometimes I identify with the body's desire to die. Let's use a more polite word, sleep. I identify with the need of the body more than I identify with the need of the neshama.
How does it come out? All the good things are ruchnius and all the bad things?
When I'm identifying with my neshama, and I'm identifying and I'm going after those things, then I'm identifying with my positive side and I'm elevating myself. And the negative things I notice in myself is when I'm identifying and I'm going after the guf. That's the milchama between the guf and the neshama. And I choose who I identify with. I'm neither of those two creatures. I'm not the guf and I'm not the neshama. But when I have that tendency to kind of like, you know, be jealous, let's say, that killer. And jealousy just doesn't mean I want the next door neighbor's car. You'll notice it's much more complicated than that. Well, so why do I want the next door neighbor's car? Who wants the next door neighbor's car? Let's just first of all stop. Who wants, then I'm going nuts that I want the neighbor's car. Who is that? My neshama wants the neighbor's car? Sometimes it could be the neshama that wants it. Sometimes the neshama sees so much chesed you can do if you've got a car, it really wants a car, so it wants to do chesed or whatever, and da da da. But say, go more. You might have to give the neshama what he needs. You might have to find out a way how you're gonna get a car in order to do chesed. Ask the shara first. No. But realistically speaking, it's probably the goof that wants the car, right? So ask yourself, why are you identifying with your goof? Who knows what you need best? Your goof? Your goof knows what you need best, or the neshama? Who decides when to eat? The body, or the head, or the stomach? So when the stomach decides, that's healthy. It's the way it's supposed to be. But when it's the head that's deciding, that's very unhealthy. That's taiva. What do you mean? The head, you always have to lead with the head. Yeah, but who knows when you're hungry? The head or the body, or the stomach? The stomach knows when it's empty, not the head. The head wants because the head wants, because it's... You know what I'm saying? Stop and just ask yourself, who is this that's talking? I have to have a car. Yetzer always gets you to think that you're him. I have to have a car. But who's the I here? Just 1 second. Who's talking here? How come the Yetzer is sitting in my chair? Stop. Analyze. Think. Who's driving you here? Your nefesh or your neshama? That's the question. Then it becomes easy at least to take stock. I'm not saying anything will change, but at least if you recognize and you know yourself well enough, you'll be able to take stock properly. Your store is not just one jumble of goods. Things are nicely packed and ordered in the Sudan. They admit it. Fine, there it is on the table. Good, you got it. Understand, there it is. Well, thank you very much. Label it, we'll stick it there.
So everybody's list looks exactly the same.
No. Everyone's got different measures and mixtures and doses of different middas. Some people are just naturally kaisanim, and some people are just very naturally very calm and never get angry. Everyone's got different things to work on. Some people are naturally generous and open and whatever, and other people are naturally kaisanim. Well, everyone's working on the same things.
No, but unless you've affected your middas, then you're always working on all the middas.
Not necessarily. Hashem could have given you a whole dose of middas that are fine and working, functioning perfectly, that you don't have to address. Let's say there's a range of middas. You take the Ochas Tzadikim, right? So he's got a list of all the middas, right? So let's say that's an exclusive list. It's not, but let's just say there's 50 middas, right? There's 22 letters in the Aleph base, and there's 6 constant mitzvahs. And there's 48 Kinyani Torah, and there's 50 middas, let's say. Some of there's more. It's like he said, there's basically 3. But whatever. So, of those, your permutations, how your talents made up of different doses of what's going to look different to somebody else's.
Yeah, but you're the ones that, let's say, I'm good at. I'm not 100%. You're not
100%. I'm 100% is not the question. The question is what's driving me? You get a guy that's a naturally happy, simpletic kind of a guy, right? So he's not going to sit down and work on perfecting simcha.
No.
It's not what he's going to do.
Sometimes the person's greatest mind is
going to. Could be, but I'm just saying, he's not
going to
work on simcha. He's gonna take something that's negative and they're dragging him down, it's getting in his way. He's gonna try and improve that. He should try and fine tune the middle. Somebody appreciates what simcha is will want to try and get more and more and upgrade it and elevate it. If a guy's a big bal simcha and he's also a kaiser, let's say, for example, yeah. So what's he gonna want to work on? Perfecting simcha or lowering his anger levels? So he's gonna try and get the negative mid out of the way because it's getting in the way. There is a Revolbi, I've never seen it, but I've heard about it, that Revolbi says that everybody comes into this world with one midda perfect. Everyone's got his unique midda that's perfect that needs no work on. All the others need midda. All the other middas that he has need work. But you can only work at one at a time. How many middas can you change at a time? So you have to choose the one that, you know, you feel is going to give the biggest payday right now. Or the one you feel you can manage. Sometimes you take the smallest one. Because a little bit of success sometimes is what you need. So take a little thing, work on that. Don't climb Mount Everest because you're not going to get, you know, you're not going to get halfway up and then you're going to be like a failure. Take a little thing. Or take the mid and break it down. God's a Bulgarian. So it manifests in many, many different ways, right? Let's say it manifests in the shoes he wears. Okay, so start wearing normal shoes. Start like that.
Being normal falls in the gray area. That's where it really comes down to. I mean, being normal, being a mentor, or being someone, you know, it really is talking, it's the gray area that you really have to work on.
What's the gray area?
The gray area is knowing that you feed your type a little bit and you feel normal and you don't get, like, you don't feel like, it's not behema and the shalom. You know, it's not black and white. Being normal is saying that, okay, so you have a little bit of type, you have a little, I mean, that's really the battle. The struggle isn't, that's
the Rambam. The Rambam says the middle path, to find the middle derech. Not to be too much of a Baal Kaisen, not to be too much of a Fayez. Not to be too much of a Baal Taiva, but not to be a complete aesthetic.
That's nice in words, but Lamaisa, when you have a Taiva for something, you know, you want to do something, you want to go do whatever, and we feel.
What you're describing doesn't sound like a description of normal. What you're describing is a level of acceptance. Even though this might be normal or not normal, even though this might be good or bad, I don't care if this is normal or not. This is what is, and I accept it. That's what you're describing. That's what I hear you describing. Sorry. Whether that's normal or not, who cares?
I'm saying
it's what is.
Balance. I'm saying balance.
Yeah, but I'm saying whether it's balanced or not is irrelevant. What is?
You know, issues with kids, you know, whether they should be doing the same thing, playing the same thing. What is the thing? Where is this balance of saying?
Are they doing certain things or not?
What are they doing?
You just said, should they be doing, shouldn't they be doing?
Yeah, so
I'm asking a separate question. Are they doing it or not?
I mean, if they're on their own or whatever, I don't know. Yeah, let's say they're.
Forget about the kids. Am I doing something that, let's say, called bad? Do I have a bad meter?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's it. Should I have it? Is it good? Is it bad? Who cares? What is? That's what I need to find out first. You can't survive without it. If you can't accept reality, you'll never be real. Can you accept what is without wishing it away, judging it away, shooting it away? Just accepting this is what is. Can you do that first?
Just saying accept it and not have to get rid of
it. I never said that. I said just accept it first. Can you put it on the you know, the X-ray, put up the X-ray in front of the light and just look at the X-ray and see what is? Without having to help out your scalpel and start chopping away. If you can't do that, you can't do anything. You'll never change anything. If you can't accept who you are and accept your reality, you'll never ever take one step out of real on the journey to ideal. You'll overwhelm yourself. To be able to accept the fact that this is who I am. This is here I am. The good, the bad, the broken pieces, the dysfunctionalities, the functionalities. This is who I am. Package deal, here I am. And Hashem wants me to serve him now with all the broken pieces, all the negativities, whatever. What should I look like? A deal. Fine. Okay. Shulchan Aruch, there it is. This is what the prototype sure in ideal mode should be looking like right now. Brilliant. How far is the gap between me now and that? It's a non-closable gap. I'm never going to get there. Accept that. So what do I need that for? I need to know what direction to head out in. I need to know where I'm going. I mean, that's always going to be my barometer. Yeah, we're never going to change that. I'm not going to lower that because it's too far away. We keep the ideal idea. Now I have a look at my reel and I say, okay, now that I've accepted everything, I own this person, I know who I am, I know what I am, I've got this, I've got the whole chonet, yeah? With the bad potatoes, the rotten eggs, the whole chonet. The geschmacka kishka, this beautiful chonet, yeah? With all its everything, yeah? Okay, so take stock now, alright. This month, what do we want to work on? What am I going to do now to change this reel by one molecule? Fine. Now you design a process. Take one step out of reel towards ideal. Because I can only take one step. You ever try to take more than one step at a time? You can't take more than one step at a time. So I choose which step to take in which direction. And I take it. And if I'm matzliach, I have a big party. I celebrate. Then I consolidate. And then I look back and say, okay. Now we have a new reel. This reel's changed. It's not the same reel as yesterday. Because the reel yesterday didn't have this changed function in it. And I have a look and say, okay. Fine, now I'm going to take another step. And that's where all of us are. We're on a journey from real to ideal. That's all we're doing. And sometimes I follow back, and sometimes I forward, and sometimes I slip, and sometimes I take the wrong direction, and I take a wrong turning, and sometimes I get bridges down, and I've got to reverse, and I've got to. But I'm always very clear on what's going on. I know where I am, and I know where I'm going, and I have some sense of how to get there. Sometimes it's more strategized how I'm going to get there, sometimes it's more intuitive, but I'm always clear about where I am and where I'm going. I can never be clear about where I am if I don't accept reality. And yes, I'm going to have to accept the fact that right now these things I can't change. When I sit down, I start doing my cheshbon nefesh on Tisha B'Av, right? That's when I start working on Elul, on Tisha B'Av. Just the one day, because after it's been in the main, I don't think again until Elul. But when I learned in South Africa, the Elul's month started the day after Tisha B'Av. Banner's money was from today till Tisha B'Av. And then the news month started on Asara B'Av. So that's when I got into the habit of starting to work on Elul, the 3 weeks before Elul actually started. So when Elul started, you were ready. We kind of fall into Elul and it's already Rosh Hashanah. So I can't do that the whole 3 weeks of Banner's money, because Banner's money is Banner's money. But at least on Tisha B'Av, when you see the consequences in front of you, that's a good time to take stock. So now, you take stock of all the things that need changing, right? How many are there? The list is endless. Well, what are you going to work on in Elul? So in order to change, to choose to work on one thing, you're going to have to accept the fact that all these other things are not going to get changed. Lo alecha malocha ligmor. It's a Mishnah. And if that's going to cause you enormous anxiousness and anxiety, you'll never change. That's because you haven't accepted what is. What you can't change is what you can't change. You have to accept that that's what Hashem wants right now. Choose one thing and get on with it. What about all the other things? It doesn't really seem to be my business right now, because I can only do so much. As long as you're not fooling yourself and you actually are making a serious effort, then that's fantastic. How else are you going to do it? Yella, get out of here. We just got to pause you, Senator.